Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, wherever you may be. Welcome to yet another fantabulous episode of the Fluid Talks podcast. Now, before I introduce myself, I must say if the microphone picks up the sound of my belly making noise, I'm sorry in advance. Anyway, that little nugget of too much information was brought to you by me, your host, Michael.
And that makes an interesting segue to our sponsor. If you're ever hungry and your stomach is growling, buy a pack of cereal.
healthy cereal. Like maize and stuff?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
It's healthy, it tastes nice, and it's packaged nice.
It's packaged nicely.
Yeah.
I you segued to our sponsor segment and you didn't even introduce yourself.
I am Vader, head of sponsorship at Fluid Talks.
Excellent.
I am Kuhusi.
Very nice. And also shout out, as always, I want to make it as always, to the guy behind the mic who does a superb job.
Without him, we'd be broken.
Yeah.
Dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
We would.
Misfits.
He's the glue.
He's the sauce.
You guys have been good, though? You guys have been good?
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, one of us hasn't been very good, but we move. We survive, right? At least you're here.
We do, yes.
And it's good to have you here.
It's good to be alive.
Anything exciting over the weekend?
No. Mm. Actually, honestly, no.
Well, me neither.
No, I don't have much. But yeah, we have news, do we not?
We do.
Well, let's allow us to transition to our news with the harmonica that I remembered and was reminded to carry. So, hold up.
Sounds so sad.
On to our news. This time, I don't really have much news today. So mine is just like a repeat of two things that I'd already posted online. So,
news numero uno. You all know about Twitter and Elon Musk wanting or have bought Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
For the last, I think it was about 3 months ago. So have you heard of something called the Elon attrition?
No.
So basically, since the announcement that Elon Musk is interested in buying Twitter, there has been a very huge attrition happening in Twitter, where about 700 employees so far have left because, one, they disagree in the ownership or, you know, stuff like that. And I think this is a twofold thing. Means these are 700 new positions for new hires, potentially.
That is true.
Yeah, so you could take this news however you want to take the news.
Mm-hmm. Number two. I'm sure all of you have used Uber.
Of course.
Maybe. Depends on what you want to do with that information.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And all of you, I'm assuming, have played GTA.
Ooh, who hasn't?
I haven't, actually.
Huh?
You haven't?
Mm-mm.
None?
Like NAN, as in not a number, or
as in
I'm a none.
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 Eh.
Yeah, none.
What?
Guy behind the mic just said Michael plays women, a statement which I strongly disagree with.
Just like he plays his harmonica.
For the record, I play no women. Yes. Anyway, back to you.
Okay, so Huba was... Hey.
Huba. Huba. Oh, yeah.
It's the haircut.
I apologize to Uber. They were hacked.
By GTA?
No. Okay, it's...
I can see how you'd get that.
Yeah.
I will get to GTA. But Uber was hacked and some of your stuff were leaked online. And the hacker said... I announce I am a hacker and Uber has suffered a data breach. Now,
to GTA. He tweeted that?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
To GTA.
Okay, nice.
They were also hacked.
Oh.
By the same hacker who hacked Uber.
Wow.
And also this one announced. He says, the hacker claiming to be behind the Rockstar hack also appeared to claim responsibility for last week's break-in at Uber. The hacker said the Uber hack was my previous work.
What?
Yes.
Damn. He's doing overtime.
Overtime is good, right?
If it's paid.
What do you mean if it's paid?
You don't need to work. You know, with this generation, have you heard of, anyways, that's a story for another day, but there's like a whole quitting session happening.
Oh, the quiet
that's
quitting.
That's quiet quitting. Besha. But in, on other news, Apple is to hike the App Store prices across Europe and some parts of Asia beginning from next month. So Apple says it will increase their prices in some market as we've seen the US data decline its strength as a reserve currency. This will be starting from October the 5th. And here's some countries using like the Euro, Sweden, South Korea, Chile, Egypt, Malaysia, Pakistan, Vietnam, and Japan will be affected by the price hikes. So all Euro markets except Montenegro will see a base. So they have the base of 0.99 euros.
Mm-hmm.
App pricing move to 1.19 euros as per next month. That's a 20% jump in price increases. And this is going to affect both in-app purchases and purchases. Like, you know how you can buy an app?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so expect a bump. Japan is going to see a 30% increase. And that is after the yen suffered the lowest drop in like a 24-year low of all time against the US dollar.
Speaking of Japan, we hope anyone who's listening from there is safe.
Yeah. We, according to our stats, we have a few listeners. We hope you're doing safe. If you're not, may our voice and our conversations keep you going. I mean, they will be listening to us and, you know.
Okay.
That's what I mean, the company.
No, it's fine. It's
yeah.
Fine. It's fine.
You know? You're so uninformed.
It's fine. Weather. Bad yeah. weather. Really, really, climate really bad change. Weather. Yes, yes.
Typhoons and all.
Yeah. Really bad weather. So.
But typhoons are not so uncommon.
Yeah, but
it's just levels to it.
They're levels, they're yeah. levels, they're levels. All right, any news from you?
No, I'm done with news.
All right, so mine is just a revisit of if you use Chrome or Edge, you might want to check your autocorrect options or, yeah, settings.
Simply what's because wrong there?
Simply, no. It's not what's not there. It's what could be happening based on what you do. Some of your personal information might be posted to Google and or Microsoft based on your autocorrect settings. So check that out. And Adobe is acquiring Figma. Boom. But that's it from me. That's it from me. Anything yeah. else from anyone? Any reactions?
No, there's something exciting that has been happening. That's something called ETH Safari.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. What's that?
It's Ethereum on a safari.
All right.
So picture Ethereum
all right.
logo.
Okay.
In a nice double cabin.
Okay.
Going to see lions and elephants.
All right.
ETH Safari.
Well, since we're talking ETH, not to be confused with Eric Ten Hag, manager of Manchester United, let us transition to our segment for the day with... Feels good to be able to do that again. Anyway, so today we are talking about something very interesting and something very related to what we've just talked about, Ethereum.
Yes.
The merge.
The merge. The grandiosa. The moment.
Tony had actually mentioned it. Veida had mentioned it like a couple of weeks ago in one of the news segments.
Also and last week.
Oh, you also mentioned it last week?
Yeah.
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
My memory fails me, I'm sorry.
Old age.
Yeah. It is. Oh, sorry. I've just remembered. We both got haircuts, number C. I've just remembered. Anyway, the merge happened. And when did it happen? It happened 6 days ago? Yeah, 6 days ago as of the time of recording. That is.
What is the merge?
The merge.
Yes.
The merge is...
For those who don't know.
So first of all, I will start off by saying that the merge is a technical feat that deserves to be applauded.
It is.
It really is. But let me just read what the merge is straight off the Ethereum website, right?
The actual definition.
What they explain it to be. The merge was, since it's already happened, the joining of the original execution layer of Ethereum with its new proof of stake consensus layer, the Beacon Chain. It eliminated the need for energy-intensive mining and instead enabled the network to be secured using staked Ethereum. That's it. So let's break down that sentence bit by bit. So first of all, the execution layer. Tony, do you want to explain what the execution layer is? Okay, no, you don't want. Sadly, it's not about what you want or don't want. You know, sometimes you have to do things you don't want.
Yeah. So just explain it.
The explanation is literally in the name.
What you're doing is a layer
that has executions.
What you're doing is defining a word using the word itself. It's yeah. Like, what's hair? Hair is hair. Hair is hair.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, we will not define it since Tony has refused.
No, but let me Google it up for you. So the execution layer is a layer that accesses the transaction mempool, which has been populated by the transaction. Does that make sense now?
No.
Basically, it's a pool of past transactions.
Okay.
Stored in memory. Mm. Yes.
See? Simple.
That's
that was actually a very good explanation, Tony.
Thank you. I'm impressed. Thank you.
I'm surprised.
Thank you.
Kumbe, you can be...
Smart? Thanks.
No. I'm just hating. Excuse my hate. So, it's essentially a merger of the mainnet with a branch. That's what the merge is.
Yes, but most important, the Beacon Chain existed before.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's just that it could never read transactions on the mainnet.
Mm-hmm. So now people will be like, so now what's the mainnet?
Mainnet is
in the name.
Main network. Like main. So if you didn't quite get it, main network. So that's the main Ethereum network, or the main, you know, this is the granddaddy of them all. Yes.
Yes, but before the mainnet, you know, there's something called ETH Classic.
Go on.
So
tell me more.
So ETHC, which is actually a coin that you can actually attain, mm-hmm. is the first version of Ethereum.
Mm-hmm.
And then the upgrades were done, and then now, like, we got what the Ethereum we know today, which existed with a proof of work concept.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And proof of work has been fine using the execution layer as the brainchild behind it,
mm-hmm.
but it needed a push.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to see more security, and again, energy efficiency has been a big thing around cryptocurrencies,
mm-hmm.
And proof of work is very, very energy efficient. And I think according to the stats that they said, we should see an decrease.
Yeah, by approximately
99.95%.
So now
that's mental.
The 0.5.
That's mental. No.
The network still needs to run.
No, just think about that. If you're using 100 units,
uh-huh.
that means you are down to 0.05.
That's a huge...
That's bonkers.
Well, and primary, do you know why primary it can be that bonkers?
Tell us.
This is my assumptions. Mm. It's because there's no more mining happening.
Mm-hmm.
You see, proof of work requires mining, and mining is typically mm-hmm. solving portions of equations which run on very computer in, or rather memory slash, you know, CPU intensive
machines
mm-hmm. which translates to more energy, more power. So if you remove that out of the equation, it's now a few things that just running the network. But you see, now this is where proof of stake comes in. Where, okay, what is proof of stake? Tell us.
Proof of stake, it's basically, okay, so for example, you bought Ethereum.
Right.
Yeah. And sorry, I was killing a mosquito. So you bought you bought Ethereum. You have your coins or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then so now that is your stake. This is my definition. That is your stake. Now you're using that to get more Ethereum.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of using the machines to get more Ethereum. Does that make sense?
Say one more time, just to internalize it. So if proof of work is mining, what is proof of stake is?
Not mining.
Wow. Wow, guys. Wow.
I mean, we're not using the machines anymore.
You set yourself up for that one, Tony. You really did. You really did.
What's your version of proof of stake?
My version of proof of stake. Proof of stake underlies certain consensus mechanisms used by.
It's fine. You can read the Google.
Read the definition. Now, I need to do it lazily. I mean, sorry, not lazily, like in a simple way. So, what it is validators stake capital into a smart contract. For all of those things, we'll probably need like a primer, or you can read up on what it is. But yes. Yes. You yeah. stake.
I've had validators.
So what's a validator?
Ah, life needs tricks. Read up more on it. We're here to celebrate the merge.
I mean, yeah, but we also need to understand its implications.
Okay. The staked Ethereum acts as a collateral that can be destroyed if the validator behaves dishonestly or lazily. The validator is then responsible for checking that new blocks propagated or the network are valid, and occasionally creating and propagating new blocks themselves. So you've found the work of a validator, you've talked about the smart contract, and you have seen how the proof of stake works. Yes?
Yeah. So what are your thoughts? Are you pro the merge, or do you feel... Because there are people who... dislike the whole shift, and because of that, like, there's a new fork that runs on the old way, and I forgot the name for it. Is it ETHW? I think. Oh, that's a different coin. But anyways, for people who are still interested in mining, I think there's going to be a token that still continues in that fashion. Mm-hmm. But the main Ethereum network, mainnet, will be proof of stake. Personally, I think I am pro proof of stake, but it sure has its downsides. Like, since it's a staking mechanism, and staking is basically depositing like your token into a locked state, meaning you can't use it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In an effort for a payout sometime. You need, it sounds to me like you need initially a huge investment.
Yeah. It would require an investment, an initial investment, and
especially if you want to become a validator.
Yes. So, yes, especially if you, because it being a validator requires some Ethereum hold up.
I think it was 32
Ethereum. So,
32 Ether. Ethereum is the network.
Ethereum is 32 ETH. So, that can be a barrier of entry. But, you know, inversely or conversely, is it inverse or conversely? Conversely, the switch to proof of stake lowers barriers of entry, but it puts up other barriers of entry, which is interesting. My thoughts on it, I don't know. I don't want to say I couldn't care less, but that's not accurate, because a large part of crypto, or a large yeah, a large part of the rallying cry against crypto is the fact that it's using energy that could otherwise be utilized elsewhere. It's that use of energy could, you know, is contributing in one way or another towards what we are seeing around us in the form of climate change. So, you know, that's a good thing if it's using less energy, significantly less energy. But beyond that,
No, I think the biggest problem for me with proof of stake is, in theory, mm-hmm. it has the ability to be heavily centralized. And let me explain it, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Is 32 ETH. What's the rate? 1,300 right now? Dollars about? Give or take.
Let's find out.
Okay, how much is that?
ETH USD. 1345.76.
Right, which means 32 times that, you need quick math at least 35,000 US dollars.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what that means is you either need to be wealthy or make enough money for you to be able to purchase a network token or mm-hmm. a network stake rather, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Which exclusively leads to something like a rich blockchain. Okay?
Yes.
Because again, like you said, the barrier of entry is raised. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, conversely, if the value of cryptocurrencies in the market goes up, mm-hmm. it just makes that problem just 10 times worse. Which means the richer hold, which means the subset of people who control the supply is centralized. Do you see the centralization, how it happens?
I do. This is me thinking. Hold on. Just give me one moment. Still thinking? No, I'm done thinking. How do you see this playing out in the real world, either of you?
Well, we are barely a week in. Mm-hmm. It's good to see that investors, and investors I mean people who own the native token, mm-hmm. are not panicking. The price has been relatively stable. We've seen a drop, of course, but it's not as anticipated bullish kind of drop, right? So it means people have faith in the network. And since the merge was successful, by the congratulations to the community for making it happen,
is
still too young to tell what...
It's too early.
Yes, thank you. It's still too early to tell whether it's going to work or not. Like, margin is one thing. Mm. Now we need to verify our assumptions, which I'm sure they've done on testnet, and these are very smart people. They know exactly what they're doing. But one of the key things that it's going to bring about is like more security. Mm-hmm. Right? And according to Vitalik, this is just like the beginning of the roadmap, the technical roadmap that Ethereum as a network has. Mm-hmm. And I read this thing where I have the words. I think I have the words. I cannot find them.
Well, as you're finding those words, actually, I just want to mention, picking up on what you said about it being about congrats to all who made it possible. It's a remarkable technical achievement, because think about this. This is a change from one way of working to a completely different way of working.
But they were working parallel to each other.
True. But as any developer will tell you, mm-hmm. changeover is
kind of... And it works without any trouble. Just
because there was no disruption. None. And things just keep... It's essentially a transparent change. Like, you just keep
working.
There was
working. No downtime. Hey, wow. Downtime.
What's wrong with your English? Nope. Are you okay?
I do not know what is happening to you.
Nobody lost transactions. Uh-huh. Nobody lost money. Like,
the fact that it happened
instant
like that is impressive. Like it's impressive. Not to say that this hasn't been a challenging road, because this is something that had been in the works since 2016. Actually, that's 5 going 6 years. It's almost 6 years because, you know, there was a post like towards the end of 2016 about the design philosophy of proof of stake. So it's been in the works, and it's been pushed back and pushed back and pushed back until 15th of September. But for it to actually happen is impressive.
Is it remarkable?
It's impressive. It's like you switching over your system from one way of working to a completely different way of working without the end user suffering any downtime. Technical marvel right there.
Yes. So yeah, I was saying, according to Vitalik, the network will undergo further updates that rhyme with the merge. And these are the words surge, verge, purge, splurge. Those are the key major updates that will be coming soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You should be excited. I don't know why you're not excited, but you're not a crypto guy. You need to be. It's the future. Did you know? And this is big news. This is really, really big news. I don't know if you see it that way, but I think it's really big news. Swift, the company, if you call it, or corporation that's behind the banking system, is going to be adopting blockchain technology for Swift. And that's a big deal.
It is. It is. I do not deny it.
Right. So you need to, this blockchain thing is not a fluke, man. It's the future.
No one said it is a fluke, Tony. No one.
Face does. every time we talk blockchain and like cryptocurrencies, face.
My face.
Guys, especially videos will be coming soon for our podcast. You will understand what I mean.
By the face.
No. There is no face. Dear listener.
Are you saying you're faceless?
Dear listener. Please do not listen to the propaganda coming from Tony. This is all a campaign to smear my image. It's a smear campaign. It's a smear campaign. Not the smearing of Nairobi CBD.
Wow.
Shots fired.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I could not resist it. Anyway, no, there is no face. Tony. Do you not see the excitement?
No, I don't.
Yeah, right.
I think I'm
blind to you.
Haters.
There we go.
But yeah, Ethereum now finally has a chance to be productive, aligned, forward-looking technology that is adaptive compared to its previous state. So, hooray! Hop, hip! Hooray! Hip, hip!
Hooray.
Question.
Hey, you just killed my moment.
No.
I was this going is, for that hip hip.
No, this is actually just related to all you've said. Do you see the Ethereum network becoming
the network of the future?
Even more dominant than it already is right now. Do you see that
so
happening?
So basically, who wins, BTC or ETH? Yes. Is your question.
Essentially.
So there's a certain validation that BTC has.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the price already, like you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
Its biggest thing is the energy inefficiency. Mm-hmm. Like that's its biggest hurdle. Ethereum is really scalable. Mm-hmm. And I think the way it's built has so much potential to bring in the next billion users into Web3. And that's saying a lot. And if that's the case, if I see the use cases being different, I see Ethereum being the network that brings people into blockchain and Web3, but I see BTC being a reserve currency.
Explain two different use cases.
Expound.
And this is not a financial advice. I'm not an expert in this domain. These are purely my thoughts. So take this with a grain of salt. We all see, before money was based on gold, right? For every, you know, dollar that was circulating, it could be backed by a piece of gold, right? Somewhere. Until, I think it's in the 70s where the federal government switched it up and we could print as much money as we want. You get a few bucks, you get a few bucks, you get a few bucks. Mm-hmm. You know, quantitative easing became a thing. But to back that, the next best thing behind gold was oil, mm-hmm. right? And oil is used worldwide, right? So which means automatically the dollar became the reserve currency for world governments.
Yeah.
But recently there's something interesting that has been happening. People are, or some world governments are starting to disassociate the dollar being like their reserve currency, right? Because how, let's say for Kenya shilling was, we would back our Kenya shillings by how much dollar we have or CBK has. And you've noticed now, like, the KES to the dollar is really high. It's like 123 or something like that, right? Which means we are trying to look for alternatives, or rather the CBK is holding on to dollars, and that's spiking the prices because the dollar in circulation is low. And, you know, the laws of supply and demand, if you've done economics.
I haven't.
But you understand supply and demand.
I do not.
Well, read up, as you like to tell our listeners. Anyways, so governments are looking for alternatives. And I think there is, Bitcoin is a good alternative to look into. And that's why I consider it like, it could be a really good reserve currency. Ethereum is where we build.
Mm-hmm.
Ethereum is where we innovate. Ethereum is what changes the world to be more decentralized and gives power back to the people.
Power to the people.
Yes.
Sorry.
That's just my take. I don't think it's a war of which one will win.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the use case. One has a better use case for something else than the other.
What say you? You can also say what he said. You know that counts.
Either I can either say what he said, or I can either say mimi sina maoni, or I can either say, or what I'm going to say, I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to play the waiting game.
Okay.
Yes.
Again, I ask, what's wrong with your speech today? Is everything okay?
Everything is fine.
Excellent. All right. Well, you've heard it here. We've talked the merge and what it means for the future of the Ethereum network. What are your thoughts? Hit us up on our socials. But until the next, no, hit us up. Maze, I should find like a way to close out an episode. Eh? Anyway, hit us up on our socials and share your thoughts. And until the next time,
FTG out.
Boom.